Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, how good is God? How good is God, church? And, you know, this word has been sitting in my heart, and you know, I'm just going to read in Isaiah 40. A voice cries from verse 3. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Pneuma West, the Lord is calling us out of the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord and to behold that the Lamb of God is coming again. And the glory, it says here in verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Church, it's time to come out of the wilderness. Come out of the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, to behold the Lamb of God, and then that is Jesus. You know, the Lord has led me to talk about John the Baptist. His life has been dedicated to just prepare the way of the Lord. He has lived in the desert most of his life, but when the word of the Lord came to him, he has come out of the desert and declared to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And church, Pneuma West, the Lord is calling us to come out of the wilderness and tell the world, tell our communities, tell our families, our friends, to just repent and declare that the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. In the story of John the Baptist, Jesus has not been revealed yet, but today Jesus has been revealed, and we know him and we feel him and we've experienced him, but he is coming again, and where we can see him face to face. But are we ready? Have we prepared the way for the Lord? And I'm just going to read from John 1, just some powerful story here that really encouraged me, and I hope and I pray that encourages you too, that we find inspiration in his testimony about Jesus. Because when people questioned John, when they questioned him about his identity and his mission, he boldly responded. He knew who he was, and he knew what he was all about. Church, do we know who we are, and do we know what we're all about? John knew he who was. John knew his mission. And guess what? In the midst of his obedience, he discovered who Jesus truly was. Mind you, John was Jesus' cousin. Technically, they were related. But at the time, he didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. But at the perfect time, Jesus was revealed as the Messiah. And when John finally saw Jesus as the Messiah, he declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If Jesus were to come here and if you were to see him face to face, what would come out of your mouth? What worship, what praise? And the best thing to say is, "Behold the Lamb of God." He is the ultimate sacrifice who takes away the sin of the world. Nothing gets in the way of God and us anymore. The sin that once has separated us, that has been taken care of by the Lamb of God. Anything that is holding you back, any sin that any person that you can meet is holding them back from God, holding them back from their salvation, Jesus is the answer. But we need to be ready to share this word, this truth, because there is a world out there that is broken, that is in need of the light that we carry. And who else to bring that light but us? We are the witnesses. We are called to bear this light and share this light. John 1:6-8 says here, there came a man commissioned and sent from God whose name was John. This man came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe in Christ the light through him. John was not the light, but he came to testify about this light. The word witness in Greek is martyrio, and it says here, to be a witness, to affirm that one has seen or heard or experienced something, or that he knows it by divine revelation or inspiration. John the Baptist was a witness to Jesus. He has a testimony that reveals that Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. Who here wants to be a witness of Jesus? A witness of Jesus' love, mercy, gentleness, miracles, signs and wonders? I do. I want to have so many testimonies to boldly proclaim that Jesus is the Lamb of God. I want to actually say that to someone, and you wouldn't guess it, but I haven't been able to share it at my own workplace. But this year, I just feel this hunger and just conviction to be more bold about the faith that I carry, about this love that I have for God, about this salvation that I have. I desire to say that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We need more witnesses, church. We need us here in this very room, Pneuma West, to boldly proclaim that this is the answer to the world's problem. All the problems, anything, relationships, financial, about identity, about the politics, about our government, about just anything that you could ever think of. Jesus is the answer, and we have it here, and the world needs to know this answer. Who will be the witness to this answer? I want to be that witness. I want to be that witness. Because Jesus said it himself as well in John 5 when he finally started his ministry. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He was sent by God the Father. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. So the Bible teaches us that there were so many testimonies and so many witnesses that has come up to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. It's so interesting because Jesus wasn't out there seeking the approval of man. He wasn't saying, believe me, believe me, believe me, I'm the Son of God. He didn't really say that. He had a one-on-one conversation with people. He didn't want the approval of man. He wanted a change of heart. And, you know, although in his heart, Jesus' heart, he wants everyone to come to him and know him and be saved. But you know what? It's incredible because he relies on the testimony of his witnesses. He relied on the testimony of John the Baptist. He relied on the testimony of his own works, of his miracles. He said it in John 10 as well. If you don't believe me, believe in the works that I do. Believe that I am sent from the Heavenly Father. And then he also says that, you know, there is a witness or there's a story or a confirmation or a testimony about him in the prophets and even through Moses. And, you know, because this is all about the Jewish people during the biblical times, the Jewish people really, really relied on the word of Moses at the time. And so Jesus is saying that, you know, even the words of Moses affirm who I am. So he's asking us, he was asking the people, and he's asking us today, who is Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Is he just a savior or a God that is afar? Or is he the savior of your life? He's the Son of God who is worthy of the most holiest and proper worship. And I just want to read our passage today because in here we will see how powerful testimonies are. From verse 19, I'll read from John 1 verse 19. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you the Christ? What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. Why do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.
Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of those sandals, I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Wow. What is your testimony? How did you witness the work of the Lord? How did you witness Jesus? How did you experience Jesus? How did you come to your salvation? How did you get saved? These are important testimonies that can change someone's life. And you know, it's incredible because when John finally stepped out from the wilderness and into the ministry, into the mission that he was called to do, there were two important questions that were presented to him. One, who are you? And number two, why are you doing this? Why are you baptizing? And these are the questions that I just want to go through with you. So in verse 19, it says here, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you? Who are you?" Church, if someone were to ask you today, "Who are you?" what are you going to say? If you started, you know, just ministering to someone or praying to them, if you ask someone, "Hey, can I pray for you or can I just show you the word?" they're going to say, "Who are you?" What are we going to say? In Luke 3, it tells us that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The people were curious, "Who is this person who suddenly came out of the wilderness?" Just a little bit of background about this story, a bit of context. The Israelites were under the rule of the Roman Empire during this time. There had been a 400-year prophetic silence since the time of Malachi. And during that time, they relied on the prophets to hear from the Lord. And they have not heard from the Lord for 400 years. Imagine not hearing the voice of the Lord. Imagine that. They had the Torah. They had the first five books of the Bible that we have now. They relied on that. They still had their tradition and their rituals. But hearing from a prophet, hearing directly from heaven, they didn't have that for 400 years. Wow, imagine that. Imagine that. But what's incredible was that in that 400 years, although the Lord was silent, God did not leave them empty-handed. Before that silence, God promised in Malachi 3:1 that he will send a messenger and he will prepare the way for him, for God. And suddenly, he will come to his temple. "Behold, he's coming," says the Lord of hosts. That was the last promise. That was the promise that the people were holding on to for such a long time. The Lord will come. The Lord will come. There will be signs. There will be a messenger. He will come. And then years came and years came. They probably thought it would just be for another 10 years, 20 years. And then it became 100 and 100 years until it's 400 years. Generations have passed, generations from generations. But I love that the song that we sang, from generation to generation, the Lord is faithful. Although God, we feel that sometimes God is silent. "God, where are you? I have been praying. I have not heard you. I have not seen you move." The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. God is not man that he should lie. Isaiah 55:11, God says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Church, God fulfills his every promise. He fulfills his every word. And I love, this is what I love about the Israelites, though, is that they really held on to the promise of God. Church, let's hold on to the promise of God. Let's go and jump into the Word and read the passages and look at the promises that he says and hold on to it so that whatever situation we may face, whatever doubt that we may have, whatever problem that we have come across or just an unknown situation, we have a promise to hold on to. So at that time, the Jewish people were anticipating the coming of the Lord. A sign would be that this messenger will prepare a way. So then comes our guy wearing clothes made of camel's hair. He was very hairy and he had a leather belt. He had been living in the wilderness, feeding on locusts and honey. And he suddenly says in Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the people were curious. Whoa, is this the guy? Is this the messenger? Is this the promise? Is Messiah? That's why they were asking, are you the Christ? Or is this Elijah? Because it was also prophesied by the previous prophets that Elijah, who didn't die, who was taken to heaven, will come back again. Is this the Elijah? Or who are you? Are you another prophet? Because it also was prophesied by Moses that another prophet will come. Who are you? Pretty much they were asking, which promise, which prophecy are you fulfilling? But John said no. What he said was this, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He held on to this word in Isaiah 40. Do you know why, church? Do you know why? Because he knew his identity, because the Lord has revealed it from the very beginning. If you guys look at the story of his birth before he was born, his parents were barren. They were really old. There was Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in Luke 1, it says here, I'm just going to quickly read to you. An angel came to the Lord. Came to Zechariah, I should say. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you shall call him John and you will have joy and gladness and many will rejoice at his birth for he will be great before the Lord and he must drink no wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. How incredible is that? Mothers, let's pray for our children. If you are planning to have a baby, pray for that child to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. The Lord has spoken to John's parents. Raise him according to the will of the Lord. Parents, I just want to speak to you specifically, including myself. We have a divine responsibility to raise our children according to the will of the Lord. Let's pray and read the Bible together. Let's speak life to them, correct and discipline them the godly and loving way, because this will help shape their identity. Don't let the world define their identity or their way of living. Lead them to God. Let God reveal their identity. And we see in John's life, he grew up knowing that God had called him. And I know, it didn't say, but I know that his parents played an important role in doing that. He knew who he was because of his upbringing and his identity, his confidence in God. He didn't need to be anyone else. He didn't need to be an Elijah or definitely not the Messiah or another prophet. He needed not to be anyone but John. It's so funny because when you read Luke, it says that there were people saying, don't call him John. That's a very unknown name. It's common for them, for other people to help parents name a child in their culture. And they say, maybe call him Zechariah because, you know, they're Zechariah just to honor the father. But Elizabeth stood her ground and said, nope, he will be called John. And you know what the people said? What will become of this child? They were like already talking smack about John. Oh, they're doing something different. It's countercultural. I don't know what's gonna turn, how this child's gonna turn up. Well, lo and behold, 30 years later, he comes out of the wilderness. He may look weird, but he was proclaiming the word of the Lord. He was preparing the way of the Lord. So, church, maybe some of us feel like we've grown up weird, we're doing these things, but know that God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you. Nothing is ever a coincidence or random for him. There is always a purpose that just glorifies him. Okay? For me, I'm like, growing up, I hated the color of my skin. I hated the way I spoke. I hated things about myself. I didn't even like my name because in my culture, they couldn't say it right. I was called Toilet because my name was an alliteration in Filipino as toilet, like baño, to all my feelers. And I hated my name. I hated it so much. But then, you know, I grew up, I got over it. But then, you know, one time Levi and I was at this prophetic meeting and we had a prophetic word spoken over us. The Lord was telling us that we were loved the way John the Beloved was loved by the Lord. And I found out that Vanya was actually a female version of Ivan, and Ivan is the Russian version of John. So I am a John. I'm actually a beloved. So praise God, I love my name. It makes me teary thinking about it because I hated things about myself. But, you know, all things, these things, they're not random. You know, God calls us by our name. You are loved, you are chosen, and he has a purpose for you. So if anyone was ever to say, who are you? Just know that God has given you an identity. You have a purpose, you are loved, and your name means something. Your parents may have chosen the name, but know that the Lord defines you. It is God who defined you. Because it says here, he will be called John. He will be called John. That's what the prophecy was, and so they obeyed. Zechariah and Elizabeth obeyed, and it's so important that we obey, even though it doesn't make sense. Obey the Lord. Another thing is, you know, he also lived a consecrated life. It says here in verse 15 of Luke 1, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He lived a different life. He was set apart. Church, it's important that as we know our identity, we walk in it as well. We walk according to our identity as children of God belonging to his holy kingdom. It's so funny. I was seeing a picture. There was a picture or a meme on Instagram. It says, stop calling your children Bible names because Moses just robbed me. It was just like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's like, you know, you got to really know why you're naming your child. And it's so important, parents, to just raise your children in the way of the Lord. And as we grow older, as we become, as for us adults now, let's walk in our identity. Be Pastor Levi, known as that bold and worshiper. Because I used to always make fun of Levi for because he always cries when he worships. But I should not. Because that's just him. He just loves the Lord. And now I'm a crier too. I have become like him. And it's just God. You know, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in your identity. 1 Peter 1, it says here, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And here, just such a powerful word from Peter again. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. John lived a different kind of life. And church, I'm not telling you to go and live in a desert, eat bugs for breakfast, but who knows where God's calling you, what mission you have in life. But a holy life looks different from the rest of the world. Right. How you love, how you respond to situations, how you care for others, for our environment, for the animals. It's a wholeness. We have to care not just for each other, but for the earth that the Lord has created. How you care for your health. These are the overflow of your intimacy with God. Your consecration starts from your intimacy with God. So let's focus on that this year. You know, new year, new me, but let's look at more intimacy with God. And the second question that the people were asking John is, why? Why are you doing this? You know, people will ask you, church, about your testimony. Why are you doing this? Why are you sharing the word? Why? Why are you going to a different place? Why are you going on a mission? Why are you leaving your job just to do this and that? Well, God has a purpose. There's always a purpose and there's always a reason. In verses 2:28, I'm just going to read here. So they ask him from 25, then why are you baptizing if you're neither Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Church, just a reminder, to remind us as well, the baptism here is different to our baptism today, as Jesus has not yet died and resurrected. In Matthew 3:5, it says, then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about the Jordan were going to John, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. This baptism was a sign of repentance. And you know what? This was another countercultural act. This was offensive in the Jewish culture, as baptism was only for the Gentiles or the converts from another faith. These people needed to be cleansed. That's why they needed the baptism, that kind of repentance. An Israelite at the time was never baptized, because they knew from birth they already belonged to God. So for an Israelite to come and be baptized and to repent of sin, that's like, whoa, why are you doing that? Why are you counting yourself just like the Gentiles? And for them at the time, they just really believed in their identity, in their ethnic inheritance, that they're the chosen people of God. It says here, John Piper said, according to this, John the Baptist infuriated the Pharisees by calling the Israelites to renounce their reliance on the sign of the covenant that they got when they were infants, and to receive another sign to show that they were not relying on their Jewish birth, but on the mercy of God received by repentance and faith. John was leading the people to true repentance. He was telling them, don't rely on your ethnic background. Don't rely on these things, on your rules and rituals. Don't rely on these things. Turn away from sin instead and rely on God's mercy. Repentance, viewing sin according to the will of God. In other words, view sin the way God does. The world out there will tell sin that it's just okay. Let's not forget, we are the children of God. We know the light, we know the truth. Let's remember and always see sin the way God sees sin. Don't let that little sin, that little unholy habit creep in. Put a stop to it right in this moment and say, oh, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Walk away or ask for prayer straight away. Call someone, text your leader, say, I need prayer, I'm struggling. There's something I'm struggling with. Text them and then go to the Lord and repent. Lord, I come to you. I don't rely on what I do. I rely on your forgiveness and your grace alone. And church, just like John the Baptist, believers are commissioned to the same task, to proclaim repentance and be ambassadors of reconciliation. Our mission as God's people is to invite people to repentance and lead them to Christ. We don't judge people, but we tell them that there is a much better way. You know, it's incredible, because the result of John's ministry was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, whose repentant and believing hearts were ready to receive the Messiah. They were so excited and expectant that Jesus is coming again. The Messiah would be revealed at the time. But today I ask you, what is the result of our ministry? I'm not talking about what we do on Sundays. I'm talking about our personal ministry. Each of one is commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations. Of our obedience to the Lord, Can we make it a goal this year to be bolder in our faith? The Pharisees asked, why are you baptizing? John says, I'm not doing this for my own sake. I am called to prepare the way of the Lord. And preparing the way means leading people to repentance. But he says there, he who's coming after me is mightier than I. He reveals that he's only there to prepare the way, for someone greater is coming. If I could just invite Mia as I close. Behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. Church, let's say together, behold. Let's say together, behold. He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And, you know, in your testimony, in your journey, as you become bolder in your faith, as you finally step out into that calling, into that ministry, as you start praying for someone, as you start teaching them or spreading the gospel or sharing the gospel, sharing your testimony, some people around you may ask, who are you? Or they're probably thinking, weren't you just that person? Didn't you do that before? Who are you? Or maybe they'll say, why are you doing this? Didn't you have that cushy job? Did you have a family? Or didn't you have like a home? Or didn't you have this and that? Why are you suddenly doing this? You know, church, the best part about a life dedicated to God and his mission is the revelation of Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Keep in mind that, as I said earlier, Jesus and John were related, but John didn't know who Jesus was until after the baptism of Jesus. It says here, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me, which is God the Father, to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has been revealed. And this marked the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John has successfully prepared the way for the Lord. John himself witnessed that Jesus was the promised Messiah. I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. Church, have we witnessed that Jesus, the Jesus that we worship, is the Son of God? What is your testimony? What is your story? What have you seen that made you say, wow, Jesus, you are real. Wow, Jesus, you are truly kind. Wow, Jesus, you are truly the Son of God. Church, you have a powerful testimony. Use it to advance the kingdom. God is calling us to live out boldly our identity. The more we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, the more we will have that confidence to live out this purpose. I know it's scary. It's easy to say it in this pulpit, but when you're out there, there's so many things that's thrown at you. But church, Jesus promised in Matthew 28, I will be with you forever till the end of the age. And he also promised in John 16 that he will send a helper, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is empowering us and giving us the words and helping us discern. And God said as well, another promise, he will equip us for every good work. And he who began a good work in us will fulfill it, will complete it at the day of the Lord. Wow. Church, we are called to prepare the way of the Lord, the way John was. Make straight his paths. Prepare, prepare, prepare. I feel it in my spirit. In Revelation 22:7, Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. To some, this may be a scary thought, but for us, this should be a comforting thought, because all suffering and the remainder of sin and all these things will pass away, will no longer be here. He will wipe away the tears. There will be no more pain. There will be no more illness. There will be no more brokenness. All will be healed, completely healed. We will be completely free in him. We are free now. And the most beautiful part is we will be with him face to face. Let's seek to behold him now and know that the day will come where we will see him face to face. Let's stand together. Just in this moment, just really come to the Lord and say, God, send me. Lord, I am coming out of the wilderness. Lord, I am coming to prepare the way. Lord, I am coming to behold you. Let that be our prayer this year, church. Let this be our cry in Yuma West. I am coming out of the wilderness, and I am coming to prepare the way of the Lord, knowing my identity, knowing my purpose, knowing that I get to behold the most beautiful Jesus, no one else but Jesus. Let's close our eyes. And just like the Israelites when they were waiting for 400 years, is this promise even going to come to pass? Some of us may think, is Jesus ever going to come back? Or is Jesus ever going to do what he says he will do? Church, he will fulfill every promise. He is true to his word. He is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe some of us are saying, oh, it's just been a struggle. It's so hard. It's so hard. I feel like other people have it easier. You know what? It's so interesting because also John was sent to prison, John the Baptist. And in Matthew 11, he actually asked Jesus, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another? Maybe some of us are saying, is there another way? Should I do something else or should I go somewhere else? Some of us may be questioning our identity, our purpose. But Jesus said, look at the works that I have done. Look at the promises that I have fulfilled. Look at the healings that I have performed. And Jesus responds in verse 6, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Church, let's seek the will of the Lord. Because once we seek the will of the Lord, even our own desires will line up to what he desires. Even the waiting of 10, 20, 30 years will seem short because we are trusting in the one who fulfills his every promise.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.